Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, we knew this would happen, but that doesn't make it any easier. It's the last Wednesday of the month, which means it's the last conversation with Robin Farzad of Bloomberg Business Week in our series, Shed a Tear for July. Oh, how I wish this were one of those five Wednesday kind of months, because there's certainly plenty to cover. And the series has been, did it work? Looking at different Obama programs to fight the recession and the financial crisis. So Robin Farzad,
this is a sad day for America, Brian. I fear our long national nightmare has only started.
But, of course, we can have you back as a guest outside of designated series.
Thank you.
Now, all this month we've sort of been nibbling around the edges at different programs because, let's be honest, when summer 2012 rolls around, the Republican nominee for president won't be talking about about little things. They'll be talking about what they see as the big Obama blunder, which is the stimulus bill.
A stimulus bill that's more effective in producing material for late-night comedians than it was in producing jobs.
Here's President Obama at the signing of the bill in Denver, February 2009, just a month into office.
And what makes this recovery plan so important is not just that it will create or save 3.5 million jobs over the next 2 years, including 60,000 plus here in Colorado. It's that we're putting Americans to work, doing the work that America needs done in critical areas. In critical areas that have been neglected for too long. Work that will bring real and lasting change for generations to come.
That was then. This is now. Did it work?
You know, there's a third school here that says it wasn't enough. You should have spent maybe twice what you asked for in terms of the $660-some-odd billion. The Republicans themselves are out there now in opinion pieces saying that the stimulus cost us $250,000 per job. And what do we have in exchange is a much higher unemployment rate. Administration is coming out with Labor Department stats that saying, actually, we raised employment by 2.4 to 3.6 million jobs. So it could have been a lot worse, but that's really coldly comforting.
Coldly comforting if things are going in the wrong direction or stagnating, to say it would be even worse if we didn't do what we did. Whatever happened to shovel ready? There were supposed to be these shovel-ready projects. That was the big buzzword for about 10 minutes in 2009, where all the stimulus money was going to go. It was going to be a national infrastructure building project. And then it turned into a lot of aid to cities and states to save police jobs, fire jobs, teacher jobs, worthy things. But it was not the national construction program.
Well, have you been on Second Ave lately, man? There are like 20-ton shovels out there. I think that project should end by the year 2080 or something.
Is that a stimulus project?
Well, the devil is in those details. I mean, what was stimulus initially that we thought we could jolt the economy out of this precipitous decline following the crash of 2008? As Obama, literally as he finishes his inauguration, I mean, he's got to roll up his sleeves. I mean, finish dancing with, at the gala with Michelle, and the economy's in the process of what turns out to be losing 7 or 8 million jobs. I mean, the unemployment rate spiked from where he was. So are you just staunching the worst of it, or are you jolting enough billions, hundreds of billions, maybe trillions, into the economy to reverse the decline?
When is there anything you would identify as the most successful aspect of the stimulus program and the least successful?
I think, though, if you're looking at stimulus in terms of turning the unemployment rate around, like in a New Deal type model, there hasn't been much in the way of success. But the administration would push back and say, look, we kept construction workers out there. We kept the worst from the housing industry, kind of, you know, really the bottom falling out from under it, which it's kind of happening in slow-mo anyway. We saved Detroit, which right now it's actually looking somewhat smart. TARP didn't cost us as much as it did. But then again, that's kind of a defensive thing. It's arguing in the end that it's not as bad as it could have been. And yet we still have 9.1% unemployment and the misery index at a high not seen since 1983. So all of this stuff, again, is not quite comforting.
So here's where we make the segue to Bush versus Obama debt ceiling raising. How much of the stimulus, which I think got listed as about, what, an $800 billion program?
Right. The CBO itself said by 2019 it'll cost us $830 billion. And the CBO is supposed to be nonpartisan and removed from the White House.
So getting toward $1 trillion, how much of that was borrowed?
Well, that is borrowed. That's going to add $830 billion to the accumulated debt. But if you look at the cost of the Bush tax cuts and the wars, I mean, there was an analysis done by both Bloomberg, and you saw it in the New York Times as well. You know, the tax cuts, 2001 and 2003 tax cuts added $1.7 trillion over the decade to the budget deficit. Afghanistan and Iraq, $3.4 trillion. Since 2001, the debt has grown from $5.8 trillion. And simply Obama extending the Bush tax cuts, that added $858 billion to how much we're in the hawk. But still, if you step back from all this, the $830 billion price tag for the Obama stimulus is still half the cost of the Bush tax cuts, which incidentally were not controversial for Cantor, Ryan, McConnell, some of the tormentors chiefly of the Obama administration.
And they would dispute the idea that giving a tax cut could be called borrowing.
Well, they're saying that this is people's money. You should give it back. But truth be told is when people do issue these tax cuts and when they do vote for them, they're projecting these things over 10 years, and there's such precious little visibility. Look how different the world was on September 10th, 2001, or when Bush took office earlier in that year. 9/11 changed everything. 2003 changed everything. 2008 changed everything. And when you have revenue projections and money coming in the door, you have zero visibility past 2 or 3 years after 2008, much less 10 years. So who can tell you? I mean, for example, the stock market shoots back, Wall Street and private equity start feeling their oats again, and then money starts sluicing back into D.C. Nobody knows.
Bush raised the debt ceiling 7 times with a Republican majority in Congress. Never became an issue. Obama's raising it now, and people are saying enough. Some of it's real. Some of it's just politics. Here's John Boehner, the House Speaker, from that televised address Monday night.
Here was a president asking for the largest debt increase in American history on the heels of the largest spending binge in American history. And here's what we got for that massive spending binge. A new health care bill that most Americans never asked for. A stimulus bill that was more effective in producing material for late-night comedians than it was in producing jobs. And a national debt that has gotten so out of hand, it sparked a crisis without precedent in my lifetime or yours.
So stimulus and debt linked politically, all those other things you listed from the last decade, not linked at this moment, at least from the Republican side. We have a minute left. Thanks so much for doing this series with us all this month called Did It Work? About the Obama anti-recession and anti-financial crisis policies. Can you sum it up at all in terms of, in general, did it work?
It hasn't worked. And you can cut the guy some slack because this is such an unprecedented economic calamity. Everybody cites that this is the worst since the Great Depression. But there's so many terrible moving parts right now. What with housing, what with Detroit being cored out, what with
but if that's
joblessness
your conclusion,
and pushing on a string.
Does that, in your opinion, refute the whole idea of Keynesianism, that the government needs to spend money during a serious downturn in order for it not to be worse?
You can argue, has this been true wholehearted Keynesianism? Did we go enough into the hawk to kind of stave off this kind of crisis? Again, there's a third school out there, very shy to come out and say this, but Paul Krugman, at least at the New York Times, has been hinting at it.
About twice a week.
Yes.
Robin Farzad from Bloomberg Businessweek, thanks again for the series.
Thank you. I'm flattered, I'm honored, and I can't wait to see you on Broadway.
Actually, you know what? We ran out the clock a little early. We have a few seconds. So I can ask you, what do you mean, see me on Broadway? Are we going to take this show on the road?
That's what I heard, man. It's going to be the next Book of Mormon.
We could do... I think we have to start off Broadway, though. I think we have to start really small in a theater that holds
I would pay to see you in Dinner Theater in Boca Raton, Brian Lehr. That's how big of a fan I am.
Would you wear a white jacket with a black bow tie?
I'd dress up any way you'd want me to dress up.
Robin, thanks a lot.
Thank you.